broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, and yours truly on your radio. This is the broadcast for January the 6th in the year of our Lord, 2023. And man, have we got a lot going on. We got an incredible guest coming up. We'll get to that in a minute. In the meantime, Dr. Bradley and Sam Bushman having a lively discussion about Speaker of the House. What do we expect to happen? I mentioned that I kind of like somebody from outside the House to be elected, which is their current rule allows for all that to be. That's been the case since the beginning. Dr. Bradley warning of the dangers of picking somebody from outside of their membership, saying, hey, the House is the people's House, and those who are elected, you know what, we need to pick one of them. They're the ones that were elected. There's pros and cons to this debate. I think if they're outside the House, they have less conflict of interest. But as Dr. Bradley wisely warns, hey, what if Henry Kissinger got nominated and elected to be the Speaker of the House? It could be very dangerous and set a horrible precedent. I think that's true. I think that's a great concern. I also think, though, that only somebody from the House, well, it's very hard to say, well, the fox is in charge of the hen house. I mean, the people's house. I mean, okay, that the elected person, hey, we've proven those people are all partisan thugs. We can't even name a single person that would be worthy of our vote. So if that happens and we vote no, and or we abstain and say we won't vote, what if that happened? What if everybody did that? What if, okay, that's one of the ways you know about the proper role of government. What if everybody did that? What if everybody just said, hey, so now we're just stuck. What do we do next? Go then and change all the House rules so that we can do something else? Or what would happen if we won't vote for anybody because nobody's worthy of our, quote, vote? If we're in the House, for instance, and we only elect from the House, Dr. Bradley, what happens?
Well, again, I think that the little news segment just before we came back on the air again, I think is showing some incremental efforts to get this. It appears, based on the report, that Kevin McCarthy will probably be elected. We knew he was going to be doing log rolling, slap on the shoulder. He was selling out chairmanships and everything like that, along with some other things that will be of value, being able to call into question the chairman with one individual saying, I want to call a vote. I don't think you ought to be the Speaker of the House anymore. Whatever. I think we're making some incremental things happen. It's still messy. It's horrid. But during the break, I was looking through, you know, the New American Freedom Index that talks about constitutional voting. I was going through all of the representatives just for fun. The Freedom Index is a flawed system. In my opinion, it's everything's flawed in mortality. And so there's a lot of things that you can't say you're going to find there perfectly because they only do selected votes and all these kind of things. It isn't a perfect reflection. But I'm having a horrid time finding constitutionally sound individuals. I look at Bob Good, for example, though he's got a score of 96. You look at Louis Gohmert, who's got a score of 80. So these are on the top of the stack, if you will, in terms of their principles-based voting, but still, we've talked about this. Let's take a 75%er, and that means that 25% of the time, they're voting unconstitutionally. Well, that's a horrid thing. You think of that in your fidelity with your spouse. That means 1 week a month, you're going to be unfaithful. If you're a 90%er, that means 3 days a month, you're unfaithful in your marriage. So these guys, if you're an 80%er, holy cow, you're partway in between that. That's horrid if you're talking about faithful in a marriage. And so what I see now is a pretty bad reflection of our ability to choose wisely when we put people in. So what I'm saying is if we kept it in the House, we should pick somebody that's towards the top of the stack, if you will. But the fact of the matter is, the facts in the matter are, that right now it's broken. We've been stupid
Amen to
for
that.
So long.
We agree
anyway,
with that. So if we don't pick somebody because we vote no or abstain from voting all the time for everybody in the House, and there's not a single people from our own quote ranks, elected ranks that we can pick, at some point then we say we got to visit the rules and change the rules. What would we change right. The rules to? In other words, what's the way out of it? Is the point?
Well, the way out of it really is to have an American people, we the people that choose wisely.
I know, so but right now, though.
Sam, we can't get this today. It will not happen. We've got to make the incremental things. I mean, I look at Marjorie Taylor Greene on this Freedom Index. She has a score of 97. 97.
I get it. So
but
what
she's
do
not
so
going to be elected.
Right.
She's not going to be elected.
Do you vote for her? What do you do? What I'm saying is if we all vote no or abstain, at some point, what do we do? At some point, we've got to pick somebody, don't we?
It's not going to happen.
Or do we just wait 2 years till 2024?
No, it's not going to happen. There is going to be a compromise. There's going to be a pragmatic view that comes out of it. They are going to elect McCarthy today. And McCarthy has given some ground where he gave chairmanships away and where he said, okay, I'll give you these things that you can now call me into question in the future. We're making an incremental progress, and I think that'll happen. It's messy. It's horrid. But there isn't going to be a soundly founded individual get elected. There just
isn't.
Would
you vote for Green?
Marjorie Taylor Greene? Sure,
yeah.
I'd vote for her. I'd vote for Boebert. I'd vote for Gatch probably. Or you know, I mean, some of these people just need to start shining to the surface a little bit. I mean, some of this stuff with guys like Bob Good, he's got a score of 96. I mean, again, in a marriage,
good work, Bob.
I wouldn't want a 4% wife, though, that's only unfaithful 4% of the time.
Yeah, one of the things you got to be a little bit fair about with the 4%, 3%, 2% stuff is that oftentimes there's debates about what is constitutional. In other words, the scorecard you're using isn't perfect either.
Again, I agree with that. In fact, I said that it's a flawed system. And so I don't believe that.
I just don't want to say that because someone's 3% that they're really 3% wrong. Or it might be that there's compromises and you did the best circumstances that you could. For example, if Scott Bradley voted for that 97%, or I could say, see, Scott's voting for a cheater. Well,
that's right.
What we got to do is back up though and say maybe that's not true. Maybe the scorecard's a little bit flawed, or maybe the founders compromised as well, and so we could kind of come back and say, you know, some of the constitutional decisions they made were unconstitutional in getting there. Or what? All I'm saying is that we got to be a little bit careful. I agree with the standards, and I agree we need to stick with them, but we need to be careful of using the 100% measuring stick as if it's 100% correct, or the sometimes, as you mentioned, things are messy, and sometimes you do things that are the best circumstance of all, given the circumstance you're in, but they may not be the best solution. But the best solution isn't on the table. In other words, Dr. Bradley said the best solution is to get really the American people should have elected people that are worthy of the speakership. That's all facts. But it doesn't change the fact that after that vote from the people, we are where we are. And if you're an elected official, you've got to vote for somebody. And if you vote for anybody, then you've kind of compromised because nobody's the 100%er we want, see? And so what I'm getting at with this whole thing is it's very difficult, folks. The only real answer, as Dr. Bradley wisely pointed out, is this. Let's hold out as long as we can. Let's move incrementally to where we want to go. Let's educate and teach and train and elect good people going forward. And there is no great way out of this horrible situation we're in. Okay, we're on a boat. We're on a plank in the middle of the sea, and you're going to starve to death if you stand on the plank. If you jump in the water, you might die. But if you jump in the water, you might actually be able to, I don't know, get saved, get to shore, do something. What do you do when there's no good answers? And sometimes the answer is you do the very best you can with what you've got and say, you know what? It isn't perfect. It's far from, it's messy, but I've done the best I can. So I would personally vote for a Green. And let's see what some of these names come up. I would not vote for a Donald Trump. I would not vote for everybody that's been put up thus far. Anyway, we've about worn this out, but I want people to understand the answer is really broadly in we the people, as a moral religious people, electing people who are the worthy of their oath of office, Doctor.
There's no question. We the people have chosen unwisely for long enough. It's time that we recalibrate our expectations and begin the incremental thing. We didn't get in this problem overnight. It's been many decades. And
that's for sure.
People have been stealing elections, I mean, since 1948 at least. I mean, I know it happened before that too. And we talked just very briefly in the first hour about what happened in the Jefferson first election and some shenanigans that went on there. And ultimately and finally, Aaron Burr gets shot. No, Aaron Burr shoots Hamilton over the thing. I mean, and Hamilton really
it's
was
crazy.
The one that got Jefferson elected because he liked Jefferson better than some of these other people. And so, I mean, these are
hope politics. We don't go to those extremes, Doctor.
Well, you know, and we could talk about a guy like, let's go Andy Jackson. He used to shoot duels himself. He got shot, too. But, I mean, it was rough and tumble. But right now, it's kind of messy. And I think a pragmatic solution to this thing is we can get with incremental progress. Again, I agree. This new American Freedom Index is extremely flawed. I have looked at people that got 100%, and I have to go, huh? Because I know some things that they did that
are
fatally flawed.
And they're just doing their best, too. We're trying to use a measuring stick to really get us a handle on
things. It's an imperfect measuring stick.
Yeah. But so, a green, though, you know, hasn't even been there very long either. So that's kind of another discussion, too, about how do you compare that to somebody who's been there for a long time. And that's part of the problems with this thing. But, look, an FBI agent had to plead guilty to literally destroying evidence to frame a pro-Trump political prisoner. Who are we talking about? Former Arkansas State Senator John Woods. And we had Patty Stockman on talking about this last week. We mentioned they had an incredible rally coming up. If you want to learn more about this, defendapatriot.com is where you can learn a whole lot more. Okay, can you guys skip the break real quick? All right, they're going to go ahead and skip the break. Former FBI agent, he's a thug, really, in my opinion, Robert F. Cesario, who destroyed evidence, predictably avoids prison. What a disgrace. To come on the radio with us and talk about this is a lady who attended the rally. She's kind of an expert in keeping up on this case. Her name is Connie Davies. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, Connie.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity.
You're very welcome. Let's learn a little bit about you. Who are you first, and how did you get involved?
Well, you mentioned Patty Stockman. She and Steve are the reason I got involved with this, because I met Patty several years ago in North Carolina on a bus tour for Republican Wives. We were hosting a bus tour to support a candidate. Patty happened to be in Charlotte, North Carolina at the time that I was there, and we met up. She told me about Steve, and I went to bat for Steve in his case. I was able to get information to Mark Meadows. Mark Meadows got it to the president. We got the commutation for Steve Stockman, so he's out of prison now. But in that's the short version, obviously. But through that, Steve told me about John Woods.
Now let's stop there real quick so everybody understands. Steve tells me the story that he met John Woods in prison. John learned about Steve's story, and Steve learned about John's story at that time, right?
Exactly.
All right,
and
go ahead.
Charges that were brought, the charges brought against each one of those gentlemen were very similar in nature. And I think it's very interesting, you've mentioned this also, that one common denominator between the two of them, or several common denominators, they're very strong advocates for the right. Both were supporters of Donald Trump. Both are against corruption, and were doing outstanding jobs in their respective positions, their official positions, and were targeted. We don't know exactly why they came after John Woods specifically, but you know, it's kind of an interesting part of the story that he was the first and only public official in the state of Arkansas to endorse Donald Trump in the presidential primary. So that lets you know what kind of person he was. So nonetheless, Steve told me about John. They had compared notes, of course, and Steve was very concerned about what was going on with John. John was given an 18-year, 4-month sentence for supposedly taking kickbacks for money that he got for a school in Arkansas. So anyway, that's the short version of a very long story.
Right. Now, what's interesting about this story is John was literally framed by this FBI agent. This FBI agent literally deleted the hard drive so that nobody could get the real facts in the story, thus leading to the conviction. And I guess I don't understand how they stick with his conviction. And then how they give this FBI agent no jail time, but this Congress I'm sorry, the senator from Arkansas sits in prison for 18 years, even though they knew,
yes.
even when they convicted John, that this agent
yes.
had done this. Somehow this is beyond a miscarriage of justice.
Yes, we don't understand.
What do they say to defend themselves, though? What does the judge say in this case? What? I don't understand even the rationale at this point. It's so egregious.
None of us understand the rationale. Let me go back on this story just a little bit. The evidence that there was a computer involved in the case of John Woods came up in a pretrial hearing. Before John even went to trial, this came up in a pretrial hearing with District Judge Timothy Brooks from Arkansas. They knew that there was a computer involved, that there was information on the computer. And this came up in discovery pretrial hearing. Robert Cicero was asked to turn the computer in for forensic examination. Now, this is something that's not focused on a whole lot, but look at what this FBI agent did. He was involved in an investigation. He had information on his computer. He was told to submit it for forensic examination for the John Woods trial. He destroyed the evidence. He actually took it to a computer specialist and had it the hard drive destroyed, and then did it again himself after being told. So to me, that's contempt. Then when the judge asked him why he did what he did, he gave some very flimsy excuses that Judge Brooks did not think was credible excuse. And then, of course, the evidence on the computer is gone. So this FBI agent did many illegal acts. He's a criminal. I'll just say it straight. He's a criminal because as an FBI agent, he obviously should know. We all understand and know, the common citizen knows, that FBI agents and anybody working for the federal government has taken an oath to uphold the law of the land. And the reason why, you know, a penalty should be strict on them is because they have the power to do a lot of damage in somebody's life if they do not do their job lawfully. He obviously did not do his job lawfully. And the law says, and in his plea agreement, it was spelled out very plain that penalty for this kind of behavior could be 20 years in prison because the severity of the crime and because of his position as a law enforcement officer. And so we obviously were very interested in seeing what was going to happen. Of course, he did take a plea deal back in August. He admitted that he did. And let me read to your audience exactly what he said. And this is a legal document, okay? This is not my opinion. This is not anything that's been altered. This is exactly what is in the court document. He says, this is Cicero.
Hold on. Just so, yeah, when you say he, we're talking about this criminal thug Cicero, FBI
yes.
agent, Robert F. Cicero.
Right.
Go ahead.
Right. He said in his statement, I erased the contents of the computer hard drive knowing that the court had ordered that the computer be submitted for a forensic examination. I did so with the intention of making the contents of the computer's hard drive unavailable for forensic examination. At the time, I knew that the contents of the hard drive were relevant to an official proceeding, that is, cause number 517 CR 510, United States versus Wood et al. I corruptly performed and had performed the erasers with intent to impair the integrity and availability of the computer hard drive and its contents for use in that official proceeding. Now, that it does not get any clearer than that. He admitted that he corruptly performed this action, knowing that it had been asked for in the court. And so then when the judge asked him why he did it, he claims that he had information on that computer having to do with some medical records that he did not want to be disclosed. Now, the prosecutor in that original case said, you know, that is like burning the house down because you don't like the drapes. I mean, how extreme were his actions? So, and this is so interesting to look at all of these documents, and I'm so grateful we have somebody on the ground here in Arkansas who is keeping up with what's going on in the court, because this is out of my expertise for sure. I'm an American government teacher, but I do understand the basic concepts of the Constitution and the rule of law. She was able to get for us the filing that came from the government that they issued going into this trial with Cesario. It wasn't a trial, excuse me, a sentencing of Cesario yesterday. The statement the government says, this to me is unbelievable. The government has no evidence suggesting that the defendant had any reason for wiping the computer other than his express one, which was to remove sensitive personal and family information on the computer. Interesting, when you look at the plea from Robert Cesario, he doesn't mention anything about his medical records being on the computer. And the government is saying there's no evidence suggesting that he had any other reason for doing it other than the fact there was information on the computer. And then, the defendant had any motive to impede the public corruption prosecution grander than making one piece of evidence, the computer, unavailable for the use in the prosecution. Now, think about this, Sam. I mean, I think you probably see it pretty clear as I'm talking about it. First, they say there's no evidence. Go back and look at what he himself admitted to in his plea, that he did it with the intent to impair the integrity of the case against John Wood.
Well, at the least, this should create a mistrial for the Arkansas senator, and he should go free. But secondarily, not only did you abuse a citizen in a government official capacity, but you've now also thumbed your nose at the court, at the system, at the rule of law. And there should be prosecutions secondarily, not even counting what was done to this individual, but what was done to the court, to our system.
Exactly.
I mean, I can keep going. Dr. Bradley, do you want to jump in here?
Wow. It's just, I'm appalled, shocked, and chagrined, to coin the term. It shows you how people get Arkansas-ed, you know, where the term is has been
good point.
You know, coined. This is so corrupt. Arkansas needs a comeuppance. I think it'll come at some point. But there's a mistrial, a retrial, this thing with the officer. I'd like to know what the FBI agent got his hand slapped with. But honestly, to use the term from the old 1971 Billy Jack movie, when the law breaks the law, there is no law, that this has put everything into complete question, doubt. It's something that should be set aside and justice should be brought about. My opinion about the FBI agent, I'm interested in what kind of penalty was invoked upon this individual.
We'll talk about the rally after the break as well, Doctor.
Okay, well, I'm telling you, this guy should be locked up. There should be, if you will, a warning shot across the bow of every other agent, police officer, or whomever.
Yeah.
A 30-year sentence would be nothing in comparison. You say, well, the guy screwed up. No, he did this knowingly.
He
was an individual that should know everything about the rules of the evidence.
And you want to know why he did it, Doctor? Because he knew the repercussions would be no big deal, even if he got caught.
That's right. Arkansas, for those that don't go along with the establishment, and then probably future accolades and emoluments and offices for those that go along with the establishment. So this is a complete miscarriage of justice. I'm absolutely appalled, shocked, and chagrined, as I said. I do want to hear what his penalty was so I can even be more appalled, shocked, and chagrined.
We're going to come back. We're going to do that. We're going to talk about the rally that Connie was able to attend as well. But, ladies and gentlemen, former FBI, I call him Thug, Robert F. Cesario, who destroyed evidence, predictably avoids prison. You know that much already. What a disgrace and what a message we're sending. Our prayers are with John Woods. Quick pause. Connie Davies, Dr. Bradley, and yours truly in seconds on your radio.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA News, I'm Lance Pry. Football player DeMar Hamlin is off the resuscitator and breathing on his own. Friday marks 2 years since the January 6 occupation of the U.S. Capitol. Former Capitol Police Officer Michael Fanone on CNN.
Individuals through the criminal justice system that participated in the attack, you know, Donald Trump is still walking around a free man.
Five people died tied to the January 6 event.
I'm frustrated at the lack of accountability.
Of those that died, one unarmed woman was shot and killed at nearly point-blank range by Capitol Police Officer Lieutenant Michael Byrd. He's never faced charges. Another died of a drug overdose, and three died of natural causes. Evidence against the man accused of killing four college students in Idaho last month is being brought to light now that the suspect has been returned to the Gem State.
DNA found on a knife sheath at the scene of the Idaho murders is what helped lead to the suspect being arrested. That's according to the arrest affidavit. The document revealed authorities were on the hunt for Brian Koberger less than 2 weeks after the four University of Idaho students were killed. I'm Dave Collins.
Representative Kevin McCarthy has been negotiating with Republicans offering fresh concessions to win support for House Speaker, yet no deal in the GOP-controlled chamber after a third day of voting. After millions of illegal immigrants have been allowed into the country by the Biden administration and the commander-in-chief stopping all progress on the southern border wall, leaving America vulnerable, the president announced Thursday he will visit the border in El Paso, Texas.
I will visit the border myself this Sunday in El Paso to assess border enforcement operations, meet with the local officials and community leaders, and the folks at the border sending me what they need that they don't have.
Thanks for listening, and a TGIF to you, my friend. This is USA News.
Like bones, your teeth lose density and become weaker over time, which can lead to tooth decay. And that can make your visit to the dentist feel like this. But if you want your dental visit to feel like this, try Crest Densify. Crest Densify actively rebuilds tooth density to extend the life of teeth by remineralizing enamel. Densify from Crest, the number one toothpaste brand in America. Smile, Crest has you covered.
Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then when you go to use it, it's not very absorbent? That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels. Towels that work. The six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. And right now you can receive a six-piece set for only $39.98 with promo code USA. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, and enter promo code USA or call 800-951-8175. That's MyPillow.com, promo code USA.
All right, live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about this horrible, egregious situation where an FBI agent literally framed a patriot. Yeah, the patriot is former Arkansas State Senator John Woods. And I don't know why they did this to him. I don't know why they did what they did to Steve Stockman, except for these people are patriots, and they stand against the status quo. And in this case, John Woods was a Trump supporter. Maybe that had something to do with it. Who knows? But the bottom line is this FBI agent literally destroyed evidence, knowingly, willingly, intentionally, not caring what the courts thought, not caring about anybody. He then pled guilty as he got caught to destroying the evidence to frame someone. And now this thug, this FBI agent, it's a former agent, and I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but he's now out of the Bureau, which is a good thing. But the problem is getting out of the Bureau, was that his kind of way of saying, you know, I'm not even there anymore, so let me go? Who knows? But this guy's a thug. Robert F. Cesario, who destroyed evidence predictively, avoids any prison time. This is a disgrace. Connie Davies with us to explain more about this. She attended the rally. She's keeping up on the case. They're documenting the details that we learn on defendapatriot.com. Now, that's Steve Stockman's site. We used that to defend Steve when it was needful. Now we're using this to defend John Woods and get the information out. But, Connie, let's start there then. Really just a slap on the wrist is all? Is that all there is?
Yeah, and Sam, let me share what I was getting ready to share as well. What the government said that he did was destroy, that they destroyed one piece of evidence, the computer, that was made unavailable in the prosecution. This is the government's statement. First, they said you didn't have evidence. Then they said there was only, after all, there was only one piece of evidence destroyed. They mentioned the computer. The computer was not the evidence. The computer held the evidence.
The point is there's tons of evidential proof on that drive. It could be 50 things, but they're just going, oh, it was just a computer. It was just one little thing. No big deal. But the reality
is it could be
dozens of evidential facts, dozens of details that could change the game, hundreds of examples and information that could prove he did this maybe to other people along the way. Who knows how big this becomes? Exactly. And they're minimizing it by their very defensive statement, is your point. And agreed.
Exactly. That's my point. So then let's go back. Robert Cicero, in his sentencing memorandum that he sent to the court, said that he was asking for 1 year unsupervised probation. That's what he was asking for. And his justification for getting a life sentence, get this, he used the Kevin Kleinsmith story, the Kevin Kleinsmith case, where Kevin Kleinsmith, of course, was one of the FBI agents that, worked on an email having to do with the Russia hoax. Evidently, that's what he got. His sentence was 1 year probation. The other FBI agent that he used as an example precedent for his case was a William Don Tisby, who also tampered with evidence in the case that he was investigating. Okay, so what this tells us, and I've talked to Patty about this as well, what this is showing us, this is a common practice among FBI agents, tampering with evidence, destroying evidence. It's interesting that so many of these cases that we have questions about, there's a computer involved in the problem, and they give us this excuse that it's no longer available. You know, we didn't feel that it was needed. I mean, who's to say? Unless all the evidence comes up in a court of law relating to a particular case, we cannot expect justice. We've got to have all the evidence on the table. So when he asked for this sentence, this 1 year unsupervised probation, the government came back and said, well, no, we feel that, you know, he needs to be on probation, but he does need to be supervised. That was it. So if you compare what the law requires, or what doesn't require it, but the law suggests up to 20 years in prison, and then you look at what they're asking, there's nothing to compare here. I mean, really? 20 years? And he's asking for 1 year unsupervised probation? We knew going into this that he was probably going to get a life sentence. And so we came to Arkansas. There was a group of us that met on the courthouse steps. We were very grateful that the local news media here in Arkansas was interested in this story. They showed up. They interviewed us. And a lot of the reporting that went out was pretty fair. It was good. I mean, they're beginning to suspect some things are wrong here. When you look at what Robert Cicero did and then what he was asking for his punishment, it raises questions in anyone's mind. What is going on here? So we were there on Tuesday. We started making news all over Arkansas, and then by yesterday, we had some other national outlets begin to pick up the story and put it out there. So we feel that much of our purpose we were hoping that we would be able to get the judge to look at this. I sent a letter personally outlining some of my concerns. The family sent a letter to the judge outlining their concerns. The lady that I told you about here in Arkansas that is keeping up with much of the court filings and that sort of thing had a very strong argument that she sent in to the judge. We were hoping that we would have some impact. Seems like we may have had a little bit, because what the judge actually decided on, still not near enough, 3 years probation, with the first 6 months being home confinement, and then a $25,000 fine. That was it.
Now, wait a minute, just for a second. Let me just say, most of this nation spent 6 months home consignment plus with this pandemic. Here we have a complete miscarriage of justice. Here we have the judge, the prosecutor, the defense attorney in collusion. Again, the corruption that's readily apparent in this kind of thing. I think that we need to continue to open doors in terms of revisiting the conviction of this individual that was convicted based upon false premises, and in fact, no evidence,
right.
actually. And that battle needs to continue to get that revisited and justice brought about there. And ultimately and finally, that individual needs to be compensated for all the time they spent in confinement. This FBI agent should have been made an example. And as you point out, there are many other good examples of bad examples of how this has been handled in the past. I mean, just shades of Hillary Clinton smashing her hard drives and her cell phone.
Hey, you bring
cards.
Up Hillary Clinton. You ready for this?
Well, they're Arkansas.
Yeah, Columbia University has just asked Hillary Clinton to join the teaching staff as a professor and what's called a presidential fellow. Hillary to join Columbia as a professor of, quote, global politics. Clinton announced on Thursday she's accepted, and she will teach courses on international public affairs. So she gets a job, and here's my statement on the whole thing, Dr. Bradley, to make your wise point. Regardless of facts, criminal gov officials go free, American patriots go directly to prison. That's what we're seeing here, Dr. Bradley.
Well, you know, there's tens of thousands of examples, sadly. I mean, the lowest learners of the world that held position in the IRS that deep-sixed any efforts by someone that was principles-based to get what they really needed and should have been granted without any question. This whole process, it's like the sole management of the government is held in the hands of a corrupt few. And again, it's time that we the people recognized how deeply flawed our system is. Now, I don't know as Arkansas is any worse in terms of its flawed system and the good old boys networks and the corruption and everything than Utah is. In fact, I think I could match Utah's corruption, although they wear white shirts and ties in Utah and seem to be ostensibly good. I think that there are so many people now that the people need to say, no more. We're done.
I'm sure glad you're going off to Utah and leaving my state alone. I sure appreciate that. Connie, what on earth are we going to do about this thing? This is insane.
Yes, I know. I know. It was very difficult to sit there yesterday and watch truth fall. It's fallen in the streets, and now it's falling in the courtrooms. It doesn't seem that truth matters anymore when it comes to our system of government. The rule of law has been thrown out the window, and citizens are the victim. And, you know, one of the things that I expressed, we were talking about the loss. You know, we were talking to one of the family members about possibly even submitting a victim impact statement to the court. And we were talking about all that has been lost in this situation with this one individual and his family. And, you know, when you talk about what's been lost, what's being lost in all of this is the confidence and the trust of the American people in our system of government. We don't have any trust or faith in that anymore. And what is that doing to our society when the most citizens believe that the government's the enemy?
Hang
what
tight.
Do we do?
Hang tight. It's a very interesting, valid question from Connie Davies on your radio. Hey, Dr. Bradley.
Yes, sir.
I'll have this statement in our notes. Scott and Sam have an educational discussion about the realities of the speakership. How about that?
Well, I think so. And honestly, the exchange of ideas, I think, is very positive because
I agree.
We need to get people thinking again. I mean, just because you have one point and I have another point, we're not trying to you know, shoot each other down. The idea is people need to start thinking again. We need to say,
for sure.
Holy cow, we got to connect the dots. Here's what is at stake. And here we go off on a tangent or not. What are the consequences of this? Unintended consequences. By the way, I'm still going through the Freedom Index. And this Hakeem Jeffries, he's a 19 percenter. The 19% are on that. That shows you the kind of quality they're offering.
Yeah, for sure. And the sad part is that's who has the most votes, that and McCarthy so far. But I don't think they put up anybody even viable in the first place. I agree with you on that point.
By the way, Bobart and Green, in spite of all of the slandering that's happened in the mainstream media, these guys are well above 90%, 96%, 97%. Yeah. So, I mean, Here we are, some rookie women that are in there that are standing tall in terms of the measurement tool they're being measured against.
And the measurement tool's great. It's just not perfect. That's the point. So when we get above the 98%, 97, we got a question. But, all right, hang tight. We're ready. All right, We're up.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, whether we know it or not, welcome to the broadcast. Dr. Scott Bradley with me. So just so you know, we're debating these healthy dialogues in America, and I think they're really valuable. And I was mentioning, you know, Scott and Sam have an educational discussion about the realities of the speakership. And Dr. Bradley's right about this. You know what? Even though we have different points, we're thinking about it from different angles. It's very valuable for me to hear Scott Bradley's educational viewpoint and angle. It's very healthy for Dr. Bradley to hear my educated, well-thought-out angle. We're not at odds over this, folks. Not one bit. We're discussing it. We're learning from each other's thoughts. And we're like, wow, I didn't think about that. Well, that's a good point. Wow. How? In the real end of the day, what's the best way forward is the real discussion. What's
Sam,
the best way to remedy the situations that we're in? It's a digression from our topic, but go ahead, doctor.
Well, here's something that Americans need to relearn. The American founding fathers met in taverns oftentimes. There were a lot of, places that gathered, but they'd sit around and they'd talk about what about this or what about that. I mean, they had discussions about, these committees of safety that took issues regarding liberty out. They discussed it in public meetings. These kinds of things were debated and discussed. We did not have a woke crowd in those days. What we had was individuals who were genuinely interested in preserving liberty or somehow gaining it. And the point of the matter is that these were intelligent individuals who were exchanging ideas.
Amen.
They needed to come to a good solution, and they were willing to hear the other side. The debates and discussions that went on in the Constitution Convention were sometimes very pointed, but the fact was these points needed to be aired in order
Amen.
For the people to come to a conclusion. And
I'm not trying to put
America.
Us in the position of the founding fathers, but I am trying to say we're trying to do the same, doctor.
Right, but here's the deal. We don't do that anymore. You have a conflicting viewpoint in a college
society
class.
We don't do that anymore. Sam and Scott do it all the time, people.
You don't. You get shut down. I mean, it's not politically correct, whatever. And it's like, we're fools to think
Amen.
That if we do that, we're going to come to a good conclusion. So
and
anyway,
as we go back to the topic at hand, I asked Connie Davies right before the break, what do we do? I mean, I don't want to be anti-government, folks. I don't want to hate on my government. But you know what? When you got FBI agents who get off scot-free virtually, and their reason that they should get off scot-free is because, well, all my colleagues did it and got off scot-free too. Are you kidding me, Connie?
Well, you know, Sam, I've got very strong convictions. I'm a Christian, and my faith and trust has to be in God to show us what to do.
Amen.
You know, and we're not going to stop fighting, because this is this, and this is not a Democrat Republican. This is good and evil. This is truth and lies. These are the foundations of our nation. And I think part of the problem has been that Americans for too long have taken for granted our freedoms, and they've gotten out of the debate, so to speak. They've gotten off the playing field, and they just kind of believed that government was going to run on automatic without any requirements on their part. I mean, I'm an American government teacher. I feel like my job as a teacher is to equip my students to understand the basic laws of the land, to understand what their responsibilities are as citizens of America. And it's not just to vote, it's to participate in the process and to give them the tools they need so that they can do that effectively and possibly make change. Generations now that know very little about the government, and just because somebody wears a badge, they think that they can tell us how to live our lives. I share this with my students. I start my government classes out by talking about the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts. And when, he was doing good things. I mean, he was out preaching the gospel, and he was out, helping people. They arrested him, put him in prison, and they were, getting ready to beat him to death. And he said, "You're doing this to a Roman citizen?" Well, he knew what his rights were as a Roman citizen, and they didn't do it. But if we don't stand up and have a voice, and we allow this evil to take over, Edwin Burke said the only way for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. Part of what I'm doing, and every time I talk about the Woods case, is try to motivate people out there to do something. Pray, first of all, pray, because God is the God of the universe. He's the chief judge, right? And he's who I'm going to have to stand in front of one day. Everyone will. And we're not getting away with anything in the long run. But, I can't tell you what to do. People need to pray and ask God, what is my place? Many times I use the analogy of Nehemiah when he was building that wall. He had people positioned all around the wall. And one thing that I've learned through this experience is that there are people all over our country that are in their allotted places. Some of these podcasters, some of these news writers, grandmas, grandpas, parents that are in their places trying to build a wall of security. And we need to do what God put in our heart to do in our respective places. And then when God does, blow the trumpet, so to speak, like happened in Arkansas, this week, we left our place on the wall in North Carolina. I didn't teach this week in my classes because I felt this was important. Not that my class isn't important. I want to go back, but at the same time, we're fighting for our country right now. And I told John Woods, I said,
I was going to say, your point of being in your place according to God is the real key to the exercise and what we should do. Dr. Bradley, what a poignant position she's taking. What a reality from the scriptures to kind of make the point. We need to know our rights, as Paul did. We need to stand nobly, boldly, independently. And you know what? I'm in my place to educate. And when there's enough Americans to truly make our stand, we shall. And so the Lord is preparing a people for his return. And you know what? There's hiccups along the way, but we're only responsible for what we as individuals choose to do. I'm responsible for Sam. Dr. Bradley's responsible for Scott and so on. Connie's this is the point, Dr. Bradley.
Well, I take my hat off to her for leaving. She crossed multiple state lines. I mean, she went out of her way to try and stand up for liberty and justice. And we need more and more people to do that. We need more and more people to be friends of the correct principles the nation was founded on. We don't have near enough friends right now. I'm absolutely assured in my mind that ultimately and finally justice will be done. And I would like it to be done in mortality. This waiting for immortality is a long wait sometimes for some of us. But we got to keep pitching. And it is our time. In the times past, people crossed oceans to get a breath of fresh air of liberty. They came from the atrocious conditions of Europe that had all of the religious liberties crushed. They came here to America to worship God according to the dictates of their conscience. They crossed the plains, right. They left and went into frontiers. There aren't any more of those places to go. We've got to be like Paul, as you mentioned, where he said, wait, I'm a Roman. I got rights. And we as Americans have these individual God-given rights that have been, they weren't created by government. They were recognized by government when we founded this nation. And so when this nation came together, it came out of the Holy Scriptures. This idea, these concepts, they were canonized into our founding documents. And we, the people, need to go back and understand what is recognized there and stop this, you know, idea. I mentioned, you know, that we were all put under house arrest, and it went for more than 6 months. Mm-hmm. No due process, no habeas corpus, completely pretended law. There was nothing in the law that said this or that or the other. There was no judicial review. There was nothing. And this guy gets basically that for his penalty for absolutely being complicit in destroying the foundational principles of liberty. One man is in prison, at least one man. There may be dozens more that are in prison mm-hmm. because of what this man did. There needs to be a higher penalty. And this man ultimately and finally, he's kind of like the sniper that killed people at Ruby Ridge and the guy that killed people at Waco. Here's a guy that's a trigger man. And he needs to be held at a higher level of competency because he was in a position that he abused his position of authority. And Hillary Clinton should have been. I mean, holy cow. We've got to get back on track, but it's going to take a whole bunch more friends of liberty before I suspect we're going to make some real inroads.
Amen to Dr. Bradley. Connie, the final words, yours.
Okay, well, we will stay in the fight. We're not quitting. We don't take no for an answer. It's always too soon to quit. So for your viewers, if you want to know more of what's going on, I would like to refer them to our website. It's defendapatriot.com. We'll be posting things as they develop. I would ask your viewers to please pray for us to have the wisdom of God, the favor of God, and the protection of God as we pursue freedom for John Woods. But also as all of us take our places on the wall to defend our God-given rights.
Amen. Connie, what I want you to do, you have my email address. I can give you my phone number as well. But I want you to keep me posted as this case unfolds. We want to follow it just as we did Steve's case, and we will continue to follow it. Defendapatriot.com is where you can get more information. But please keep me posted, and we'll have you back for updates as this goes on. Because, look, folks, we can't let this stand. He literally committed criminal acts. The problem is John's still in prison, people. Okay,
right.
The thug that committed these crimes runs around free. They say that he's going to have to be in house arrest or whatever, but we know, they don't make harsh sentences for these people. It's very easy on them. Pretty soon we'll find out some government agency put away for him to have a gopher to run and get groceries and beer and whatever the guy wants, right? Kind of a thing while he's supposedly on house arrest or house lockdown. This is a disgrace, folks. We've got to get John free, number one. And number two, we need increased accountability. His only excuse was, yes, I did it, and I was wrong, and I intentionally did it. But by golly, so did all my colleagues. They've done it, too. Well, all that does is expose the whole thing to the reality of these criminals walk free while patriots go to prison. We have got to keep this in focus. The American people need to wake up and stand, or next it might be you. Because, of course, you weren't a Jew, right? So I'm not...
That's right.
Counting the Jews. I'm just saying, when they came for anybody, now there's no one to defend us when they come for us, is the point of the matter. Dr. Scott Bradley, thank you. FreedomsRisingSun.com, his website. Connie Davies, thank you. DefendAPatriot.com is the website to keep up on that. We'll have you back soon. I am Sam Bushman. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live, nationally syndicated, hard-hitting talk show. LibertyRoundtable.com and LovingLiberty.net. We the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, can and will restore America. After all, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.